to 1 John chapter number 3. While you're turning, we'd ask you to remember the Rasnick family this morning. Sister Peggy came in just before service, was talking with her back in the vestibule. They found her grandson Dorian dead in his chair this morning, and she just found out and was on her way there, and asked us to remember them in prayer. So I got Brother Calvin to go take her because she was tore up pretty good. Brother Curtis has shingles real bad, and he's at home. But just keep them in your prayers. I think Dorian's Kenny's oldest son, and just lift them up in prayer. That's all you can do. I mean, just shocked. They don't know what happened at this point or anything. Just ask us to keep them in prayer. So right now, that's the best thing that we can do is pray and just pour our hearts and show our love to them by just asking God to comfort them. You know, the Bible tells us that we can comfort those who need comforted because we have been comforted in our times. Amen. We know that God is able, so just pray for them this morning. If you found 1 John chapter 3, we would invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. I asked Sister Sherry to sing that song right before I preached this morning. It just been on my heart the whole time I was thinking about this message. And yesterday all day I just couldn't get it out of my mind. So last night I texted her and asked her to sing it. Isn't it a marvelous thing when we stop and think about the love of God? Paul says here in, or Paul, John says here in 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That's our text this morning. But I want to read the next two verses. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And this verse right here ought to prick your heart into knowing whether you're his or not. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the hope and the help that you bring our way. We ask you this morning just to help us to rid our minds of worldly care. And Lord, it's hard when we have so many things going on in our hearts and in our lives. We ask you, Lord, this morning to be especially with the Rasnick family, as this young man has slipped out into eternity. Father, we know, God, that you know his heart, you know his life. But more importantly, you know the lives of those that have been left behind. And you know the hurt that they're dealing with right now at this moment. And God, we ask you to comfort them as only you can do. Father, we ask you this morning to be in our midst and to touch our hearts. We have friends and family, loved ones, parents and children who are suffering and who are hurting. And God, we know nothing short of your love and your mercy will suffice for what they're dealing with. God, we know this morning that there's no doubt someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. Don't have that hope of sonship. Don't have that hope that you bring into their life. And may this be the day that they realize the great love that you have for them. And God, we just pray that in everything we'd be obedient unto your will. Lord, use me. I pray, Father, help me to empty myself. And God, to be used of you the way that you want to use me this morning. Lord, forgive me where I fail you. And of anything, Lord, that would hinder in this service this morning. Now, God, we pray that you take each song that's been sung, each word that's been spoken, and most of all, your word that's been shared and use it to touch our hearts this morning as only you can, according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. One of my most favorite passages in the Bible is these three verses right here. Our relationship to God as a child of God is summed up right here in verse number 1. Because of God's love, we've had the privilege to be brought into the family of God. And it's a shame that there's so many in this world that don't know Him like we know Him. And we just want to preach this morning on this world and on this word and on what it means to know God as your Father. He begins with one bold word, behold. Behold, I want to preach to you this morning, behold. That word behold means to stop and take counsel and take your consciousness to this place. To stop and to give it some thought and to give it some serious consideration. To stop and see it for what He's trying to share with you, what it is He's wanting to point out. He says, behold. You know, the problem today is we don't want to stop and behold the Word. We want to hurry up and throw it. We read through our Bibles, and I encourage you to read through your Bible yearly, and it always has something. It always will share something with you. Every year you read it, you'll see something that you had never seen before, or you had read it and it had never had the impact that it has this time as you're reading through it. But we read through it to get through it, and when we take time to stop and to behold what we're reading, we find out that there's so much more there that we've never seen. And John is wanting the church, he's wanting these Christians that he's writing to stop for just a moment and to consider all these things that God has been sharing through this epistle that he's written, this letter that he's writing them. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold! What manner of love? Have you ever stopped to think about how God loves you? Man, it's not just love like we know love. It's not just love like we talk about love. Man, it's the greatest of loves there is. Behold, a great love. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Aren't you glad that God loved us enough to bestow His love upon us? Amen. It's one thing to say you love someone. It's another thing to show them how much you love them. Amen. It's another thing to exhibit and to exercise that love. Man, I know my wife loves me. No one else might ever love me, but she loves me. And I know she loves me. Because she shows me her love. She exercises her love toward me. She lets me know that I'm loved. Man, if she makes something and one turns out good and the other one don't turn out so good, I try to take the one that's not so good and she won't. She makes me take the good one. Amen? She wants me to have the best. She's demonstrating her love. She's exercising her love toward me. She wants me to have the best. And whatever it is that she does, if something is inferior, she wants me to have the best. And we argue about it sometimes, but she insists that I have the, that's love. God loves us that way, that He wants us to have the best. He wants us to know how much we're loved, so he gave us the very best. But behold, this great love. Let's look at this love for a minute. What makes it so great? What manner of love? Man, it's a great love. What manner of love? It's a sacrificial love. What manner of love? It's an eternal love. What manner of love? It's a love like no love has ever been. We got to go back and we got to look at its origin. When you want to define love, you got to go back. Origin, that's what I said. I got a grammar coach. Amen. She wants me to speak more eloquently. She loves me. You ain't ashamed of me, are you, baby? Okay. Moses said, I don't have the most eloquent speech, and I don't either. But God used Moses, and he uses me. I'm glad we found out today as we was studying in Sunday school class that God uses things according to his purpose. Amen? According to his plan. So when we have to go back and look at the origin of love, we got to understand that God loves us enough that he's willing to use imperfect things for his glory. But whenever we think about love, and whenever we are studying about love, and whenever you want to know about love, you need to go back to its source. You need to go back to where it started, back to the beginning. That's the best place to understand anything, is to go back to the beginning. Amen? You want to understand why the world is in the shape that it's in and why people are killing everybody. Every time you turn around, you hear that somebody else is going somewhere and killing somebody. It's not a gun problem, it's a people problem. We hear about drugs and the effects that drugs are having in this world and having in the population, how it's in epidemic proportions. It's not a drug problem, it's a people problem. Amen. We're suing the drug companies for giving us what we wanted. We want relief from pain. And now they're suing the drug companies because they're making pain medicine. We got to blame somebody, but we don't want to blame ourselves. Go back to the beginning. Amen. What's the first thing that Adam did when he sinned and got caught in a sin? He blamed Jim and Murray pointing to one another. Look at that. Amen. Made a point for me. Amen. They started blaming someone else. Amen. And it's easy. We want to find out the world's problems. You go back to the beginning, you find out that it's a sin problem. It's because man has sinned before God. You want to know how God can love sinners? Well, you go back to the beginning. When God could have destroyed his creation, God could have destroyed that he made in his own likeness and his own image. When God could have destroyed man, he displayed his grace and his mercy, and he preserved him, and he made a covering for them to hide their sin. Praise God. You want to understand grace? Go back to the beginning. If you want to understand love, why didn't God just destroy them? Why did he pour out his grace and his mercy upon them? Because he loved them. He had created them in his own likeness and his own image. You see, the Bible tells us that before man was even created, love was there. You want to understand God? It's very easy. The Bible defines him over in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 16. They both tell us of the origin. Of the beginning, I'm going to quit using that word, of love. Amen. God is love. You'll never understand love apart from God. Amen. You think you know love. You think you can display love and you can share love and you can give love and receive love and know what it is to be loved. But apart from God, you can't have a concept of love. Amen. You see, most of the time our concept of what love is lust. Amen. In the carnal man, in our humanness and all that we are in the flesh, our concept of love generally revolves around our lust. We see a pretty girl. First thing we do is we're trying to win her favor. We don't love her. She's pretty. We want her. We lust after her. Love grows. I grew on her like an old wart. Amen. I told her mom I was going to marry her. Her mom told her, says, you know what he said? He said he's going to marry you. She laughed. Amen. Like fell out of the chair laughing when her mom told her that. Amen. But I grew on her. It wasn't a love that I had that was just displayed automatically. She was pretty. She was smoking hot. Amen. I mean, she was all that in a bag of potato chips, you know? And I had to vie for her affections. There were others that were trying. Amen. It's the truth. She's turning all red. She's what? It's the truth. And the more I got to know her, the more I liked her. And the more that I liked her, the more I began to love her. And the more I loved her, the more I wanted her. But you see, God's love isn't like that. God's love is a love that's based solely on the principle of love. He didn't lust after me. He didn't long after me. He didn't try to win my favor simply because he couldn't have anything else. He could have created anything else that he wanted. But he loved me with a love that's hard to understand. We call it agape love. We call it sacrificial love. A principled love. He didn't love me because of. He didn't love me because there was a reason. He didn't love me because I had done something. He loved me simply because he is love. Does that make sense? You know, we equate everything. Well, he must love me because he gave me this, or she must love me because she gave me that. God loves us just because he's God, and because God is love. God's love to us comes to us just because he's God, and he's God, and he doesn't have to do anything for us, but he just loves us because we are. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. The pretty, the ugly, the handsome, the homely. You know, however you want to describe it, however you want to look on it, God loves them just because he's God. You want to define love? God is love. You want to define God? God is love. Anything that is expressed as love in this world is an extension of God, because without God in the world, there can be no concept of love. Because God is love. And God created man in his likeness and in his own image. That's how we have a capacity to love. And that's how we have the capacity to know love. Because God is love. His love is that giving love. That love that's so sacrificial. Look at what it says down in verse number 13. Or 16, verse number 16. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Hereby we perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. We think a lot of times that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and we think, well, God gave a son. Who was the son? He was God. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who was Christ? He was God. Jesus said, "No greater love hath any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Who was it that laid down his life? It was God. The demonstration of his love, his outpouring of his love. You might say the seal of his love for man. God is love. What manner of love is this? Well, it's a godly love. It's a love like no other love. It's a great love. Hey, man, it's a giving love. He told his people, he told Israel back there in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 3, he said, "The Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Before the creation of the world, God loved me. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. He'd already been chosen. He'd already prepared a sacrifice for me, an old sinner that deserved to be in hell. Because in eternity past, he knew I would need a Savior. Because in eternity past, he loved me enough to make a plan of salvation, to make a way of deliverance, to make a way that I could go to heaven. You see, today everybody thinks that when everybody dies, they're going to heaven. I got news for you that most people that die split hell wide open. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody thinks that everything's all right in their life, and I can do whatever I want to do, and I can live however I want to live, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to heaven. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says he loved you, and he prepared a way for you. He made a means for you to go to heaven because he loved you, and in eternity past, he knew that one day you was going to be able to hear a message. One day somebody might share a gospel tract. Well, one day somewhere along the line you'd come to the realization that God loved you. And he made a way of deliverance for you. He made a way of salvation for you. He made a plan to preserve you. We have taught in Sunday school class and have been talking about God's will. You know, when you read the Word of God, you find out it's a book of reconciliation. It's a story of a love so deep that it wants to reconcile the greatest hurt that has ever been made, that we might have a right relationship with God. He loved us and he laid down his life for us. Because in eternity past, he knew we would need a Savior. So he made a way. He sent his Son to die for our sins, to suffer in our place on an old rugged cross, to give us hope of an eternal life, hope of a home in heaven that he's going to prepare for us. And yet so many miss out on that love. It's a love so great. It's a love so enduring. It's a love so eternal that he never stops loving us. We've been talking about that some in Sunday school too. There's not a soul that is in hell today. And let me say this, if they're in hell, they sent themselves there. Amen. If they're in hell, it's not because God doesn't love them. I believe God still loves every soul that has split hell wide open. I don't believe he's ever ceased loving anyone who's went to hell. But because of their sin. When the prophet said, your sin has separated between you and your God. He loved us enough to make a plan and to make a way of reconciliation. He loved us enough to send his Son to die for our sins. He loved us enough to give his own life, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He loves you enough that no matter what happens, he never stops loving you. But just as a parent lays down their rules and the child disobeys, the child rebels, their child refuses to follow the rules, they don't stop loving their child. They don't stop caring about their child. But there are consequences to the action. God's the same way. He doesn't overlook our sin. He doesn't overlook our rebellion. He doesn't overlook our rejection, but he never stops loving us because he's God. So behold the great love. But behold the great consolation that we should be called the sons of God. Everybody says, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We are not all God's children. We are all God's creation. There's not a soul here that isn't here because they are part of God's creation and part of God's creative plan. But we're not all God's children. That's why we all don't go to heaven when we die. You know who goes there? God's children. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. You know where that is? That's home. Amen. You know who home is intended for? The family. Amen. You know who God is preparing for? He's preparing for his children. Amen. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. Amen. I want you to understand that. You say, well, I believe in God. That's good. The devils believe also and tremble. That don't make them the children of God. That don't make them sons of God. Amen. John says, we have a great consolation. Paul writing to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 4. He says, even so we, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. You see, I got born again one day because I wasn't born right the first time. I was in bondage under the elements of the world. I was born worldly. I was born carnal. I was born sinful. I was born condemned and destined for a devil's hell. But when the fullness of time was come, amen, I'm thankful for God's timing. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He says here that we've received the adoption of sons. Amen. We have a legal right because we've been adopted. We have a legal right to the name. We have a legal right to the kinship. We have a legal right to the heirship. To the inheritance. To the things that are there. We have a legal right to the home. We have a legal right to all that it entails. But the word that was translated here for sons. And man, this one gets me. This one's a good one. Amen. The word, we got to do this in Sunday school here a while back, maybe a year or so ago. The word that has been translated from the Greek is the Greek word techna. Now, are we the techna? Technon means a son, a child. But it don't mean just any child. It means a child that has been born of. And born in it. Not only do we have the legal qualification, the legal documentation of adoption, but praise God, we have the spiritual authority, the spiritual realm of being born into the family of God. You see, we're not just adopted children. You know, and adopted children are special children. Do you know that? Amen. I heard it put this way one time, and I really loved that. When you're born, well, back in the day when you was born, mom and dad didn't know what they was getting. Amen. Calvin and Joyce, the doctor told them they was having a little girl. When Charlie was born. So they had the baby shower, and they done everything for Sister Joyce having the baby, bought her all the pink stuff, all the little girl stuff, all the little frilly stuff for a little girl. And here come Charlie. You didn't know what you was getting. But when you're adopted, amen, you are picked, you are special. Mom and Dad chose you. Amen. Just like God has chosen us. I think about Pam and Adam and their heart for loving kids and adopting. Amen. It's kind of a different form of adoption, but it's the same principle. That God had a heart for us and He adopted us. But not only did He adopt us, not only did He make us children that way, He rebirthed us and made us children that way. That's something that Adam and Pam can't do. Amen. No matter how big their heart is, no matter how much they want to display and want to show their love and want to demonstrate the fact that what's been adopted is theirs. She can't go back and have this child born again. But Jesus can. But God can. And God seals His love to us. Technon, born son, born child, born heir. not just adopted, but adopted and born. I was born again, I told you, because I wasn't born right the first time. Amen? And because I wasn't born right the first time, God made a way for me to be born right the second time. Amen? The first time I was born of the seed of Adam. The second time I was born of the Spirit of God. Amen? The first time I received a spirit of rebellion, the spirit of sin and the nature of sin. The second time I was born with the nature of God, the Spirit of God and the desires of God in my heart. The first time I was born a carnal man known as the seed of Adam. The second time I was born a child of God, known as a Christian, known as the seed of God, the very child of God, the very son of God. And praise God, I don't know, I was all right being a Gilbert. I was all right being born my dad. My dad was a good man. I was tickled to be his son. I'm tickled to carry his name. But praise God, I want you to know something this morning. There's no name like the name of Jesus. There's no relationship like having a relationship with Jesus. There's no sonship like being a son of God. And there, in the joint heir with Jesus, the Bible says, my, what a great consolation to know that all that heaven has to bestow and all that heaven has, I'm an heir to. Amen. All the joys of the glory world are mine now. Amen. I just don't get to enjoy them. You know, everything I have and everything I own belongs to my kids now. They just don't get to enjoy it till I'm gone. Amen. See, the mom and dad was telling us one time they come home, and they got to noticing there was different colored dots on everything. And they had been away on vacation, and while they were going, their kids had come in and had already divvied up their belongings. They hadn't even died yet. Wasn't even near death. And the kids had done come in and had went through the house and took different colored dots, and this one wanted this one, and they put their dot, this one wanted that, and put their dot. And whatever they wanted, they put a dot on it somewhere, so that when mom and dad died, they could go in and divvy the stuff up real quick. Well, mine's just going to have to wait till I get done with it. Whatever's left when I'm done with it, they can have. I don't care anyway. Amen. I don't care what they do with it. But as long as I'm alive, it's still mine. As long as it's mine, it's theirs. But as long as it's mine, I might sell it. I might trade it. I might sell it. The only thing I won't get rid of is her. Amen. Brother Curtis said, I can't afford depreciation. He's just telling Sister Peggy. But I can't get rid of her. I love her. Amen. Besides that, I've done growed on her like an old wart. What would she do? Amen. But you see, everything that heaven has, it's mine now. And one day I'm going to get to experience it. One day I'm going to get to enjoy it. So we behold a great love, a love like no other love, a love that comes because it's of God's nature. Amen. We behold a great consolation that we have the ability to be born again, to become the heirs of God, and not have to suffer the consequences of those who are going to reject God and refuse God and just fail to receive his great gift of love. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 9:13, thinking us behold what we thank God for his unspeakable gift. Why is it unspeakable? It's hard to describe a gift that good. It's hard to describe a love like God has. It's hard to describe what God has done for us and what God has given to us through Christ Jesus. It's unspeakable. I mean, you can't even begin to comprehend it. We have a great love and a great consolation. but a great tragedy as well. Look at the last part of verse number 1. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. Amen? The problem is, in this world, we got so many people that know about him, but they don't know him. They've never met him. They've never been birthed into his family. They've never received him, never accepted him, never acknowledged him. Paul said, thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We see so many times throughout the Word of God the rejection of God. They don't want to know him. Everything's more important. Felix said, in a more acceptable time, another time when I got more time, I'll hear of you again in this matter. Didn't have time for Jesus. Didn't have time to accept Christ. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost will never be good enough. Almost don't work in the realm of God's adoption. You're not almost a child. You're not almost part of the family. Adam and Pam got one that's almost part of the family. He's working on it. Amen. He hung a ring on her finger the other day, for those that haven't heard. Amen. Made it official. I think they've even set a date, haven't they? We're still working on that. But he's almost. But in their hearts right now, I believe it's already done. The commitment's already been made. But there's no almost with the Lord. You're either in or you're out. There is no gray ground. There's no purgatory. There's no going to some place and then God changes his mind and comes out. God is plain. God is clear. There's no in between. There's no almost. See, people reject the Lord for all kinds of reasons. I don't have time for it now. It don't fit in my lifestyle. It don't suit me right now. I'm tired of this right now. I don't want to hear no more about this right now. I'll think about it another time. Maybe when later I get older, maybe when I've done this, you don't have no guarantee of tomorrow. I buried a grandbaby that was 33 days old. I buried a little boy that was 5 years old, burned up in a house fire. One of our closest friends lost a daughter that was 16 years old in a car accident. My wife lost a 9-year-old sister and a 37-year-old father in an airplane crash. They found a young man this morning dead in his chair. A young man in his late 20s, I would say. Dorian's in his late 20s. Late 20s, maybe early 30s, but. Time goes, yeah. But I bet you had no idea that he was going to slip out into eternity. See, personal choices, almost, don't get it. You can reject God and split hell wide open if that's what you want to do, but let me tell you something. It won't be no party in hell like everybody thinks it's going to be. The Bible says in hell, the rich man lift his eyes, being in torments. All he wanted was one drop of water because he was tormented in the flames. Personal rejection. But then we have the collective rejection of Christ. As a nation, America is trying to reject Christ. As a nation, America is trying to push Christ out of their life because he conflicts. He's a stumbling block to their lifestyle. He's a hindrance to what they want to do. Let's push him out. In our churches, we're pushing God out in favor of feel-good worship, feel-good services. You're not worshiping God, you're worshiping the flesh. If you come here to be entertained this morning, you come for the wrong reason. Amen? You come to satisfy the flesh. If you come to hear the word this morning, you should go away satisfied. Because I've tried to preach the word. Not because I'm preaching it, but because I've given you the word. Amen? Paul told Timothy, he said, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, from such turn away." You know what I hear all the time? Well, I've got my own way of worshiping. Well, what are you worshiping? God only has one way to worship. God only lays one plan of worship. Amen? Read through that list sometime without natural affection. My name's, we murder unborn children by the millions, and by the millions, I forget, somewhere around 70 million have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. Without natural affection. Let me tell you something. If anything lacks natural affection, that's lacking a natural affection. And let me say this. As bad as an abortion is in the first trimester, at 12 weeks, that fetus already looks like a human being. It's not some glob and some blob like they tell you. In 12 weeks, it already looks like a human. It's already taken on a human form. But to go full term and to kill a life because it is going to interrupt your lifestyle, it's going to interrupt what you want to do. Tell me that's without natural affection. I don't care what you say. That's just cold, calculated, premeditated murder in any form of the word. It amazes me how a drunk driver can hit a car that's got a woman that's pregnant and kill the woman and the unborn child, and he's charged with 2 counts of homicide. But a doctor can take that same woman into an abortion clinic and destroy that child and murder that child in a horrible, painful way, and it not be considered murder. Tell me we haven't got that. We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Without natural affection, we'd rather be able to have our own life and to do the things we want to do than to be wrapped down and tied down. Churches are preaching that it's all right. Churches are giving their go-ahead. Churches, let me tell you something. Not every place that says it is a church is a godly place. Collectively, as a nation, collectively, religiously, we're rejecting God. We reject His word. We twist it and turn it, rewrite it so that it suits our theology. But eternally, there are consequences for that rejection. It's a great love that's been given us. Behold, what manner of love. It's a great love. Behold what it's done. It gives us a consolation to be the child of God. Behold what a great tragedy. Those that reject God. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, there's a legal document that records our adoption. There's a legal document that records our birth. Amen? Somewhere along the line, little Josh has a birth certificate that records his birth. Somewhere along the line, not too long ago, there's another certificate that records his adoption. There's a book in heaven that records our relationship. And you might make light of it. You might make fun of it. You might spurn it. You might reject it. But one day, you'll regret it. The greatest tragedy of your life will be refusing Christ. Refusing God's gift of love. Refusing God's consolation of the new birth. Brother Jim, let's get a song. Refusing to accept what God has done for you and what God has given you and what God wants to do for you. Friends, this morning we have a great God that has given us a great love, that's given us a great hope, that gives us great peace. But still there will be a great tragedy because so many are going to reject that. So we stand to our feet this morning, heads.